Here's a new way to stay connected to Issues Etc. Check out our page on Facebook. Network with fellow Issues Etc. junkies. Sign up to become a fan, and we'll send you updates on future topics and guests. You'll even find photos of in-studio guests, Todd drinking chelada, and highlights from our one-year anniversary open house. You'll discover that Todd, Jeff, and Craig really do have faces for radio on Facebook. Issues Etc. on Facebook. Another way to stay connected to Issues Etc. Facebook.com/issuesETC.
Under our plan, no federal dollars will be used to fund abortions.
Unless there's an explicit exclusion of abortion, abortion will be in health care reform.
We believe that abortion should be safe, legal, rare, and accessible, and that a health care reform should not make it more difficult for women to get abortions in this country.
We think that in some sense is a distraction. I mean, it's a very important issue. But in the context of a country where a growing number of millions and millions of people do not have health insurance, we feel that's more the main issue for this particular debate.
The American people will not stand for government-run insurance that uses taxpayer money to fund abortions in this country.
Southern Illinois truck drivers who love Issues, etc.
Well, on this day, the church is remembering one of the big ones, but it's hard to figure out at first which of the big ones we're remembering. We're talking about first century. We're talking about someone very close to the apostles, if not one himself, and close to Jesus, but how close? James of Jerusalem is being remembered, but there are three James in the New Testament, and sometimes we get them mixed up. Here in the first 10 minutes of this hour, this Friday afternoon, October the 23rd, Dr. Peter Scare will sort all that out. Who are we remembering as a church on this day when we remember James of Jerusalem, Bishop Martyr? I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. coming to you live this Friday afternoon. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll spend the first segment talking about James of Jerusalem, and then we'll continue Reformation Week here on Issues Etc. talking with Dr. Lawrence White about the Reformation as it goes on today. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, or you can Twitter us at @issuesetc. Dr. Peter Scare is our guest. He's Assistant Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Peter, welcome back.
Glad to be with you, Todd.
So which James is this? There are several to choose from in the New Testament.
Yeah, there sure are. There are James and his brother John, the sons of Zebedee. They were fishermen, and they were two of the 12. There's the James who was James the Lesser, son of Alphaeus. This, though, is James, as you said, of Jerusalem. He was the bishop of Jerusalem, and I believe he was our Lord's brother as well. And it's interesting because in the gospel for today, for James, we meet him there, and one of the reasons that people doubt that Jesus could be Lord is they say, well, we know his family. We know that, Joseph and Mary are his mother and father, and then they name off the four brothers of Jesus, James, Joseph, Simon, and Jude, and I think that James was one of the brothers of Jesus who lived in that family.
Should he be regarded as an apostle, if not only honorarily so, since he is an eyewitness to the resurrection, and although not a disciple during this time, as you just pointed out, with Jesus from the very beginning?
Yeah, I think he was an apostle, and when you look at the evidence from 1 Corinthians, James played an important role as an eyewitness to the resurrection. And it seemed, now we don't have the recording of him being actually commissioned as an apostle, but I think that he did become one. So there were 12 apostles that were, they were kind of the base or the foundation of the church. But it does appear that others were also included in that apostolic circle, including James, and I think also his brother Jude.
Now, he is early on in the history being told by Luke in the book of Acts, recognized as essentially the leader of the Jerusalem Christians there. Why do you think he was given that position and not Peter?
Well, Peter did have that leadership role first. That is to say, when you look at the story of the book of Acts, it's Peter who's the leader of the apostles. He is the leader in Jerusalem. And then around chapter 12, persecution hits hard, and Peter has to go into hiding. And there comes a moment where Peter knocks on the door of the church, and he says, "Let James know that that I'm out of jail." And I think at that point, Peter then leaves Jerusalem for the sake of safety and for the sake of prudence. And I think it's at that point that James assumes the mantle of leadership in Jerusalem. And I think he would have been natural, first as our Lord's brother, but also I think his own natural leadership qualities came out. He embodies, I think, when you look at what kind of person James was, I think he embodies what you want in a bishop or a leader of the church. He's sober-minded, he's fair-minded, and he has a way of bringing people together. He's not rash in his judgment. So I think the church recognized in him the qualities that make for a good church leader.
Is this also the author of the Epistle of James?
Yeah, I think that that's got to be the case. And when you look at that, the Epistle of James, he does not introduce himself as the brother of our Lord, which of course would be presumptuous, because James recognizes he calls himself a servant or a slave of our Lord, because James, though a brother of Jesus, had come to recognize his new place within the family of God. So in a sense, I suppose, he had to give up Jesus as an earthly brother to receive him as a spiritual elder brother and to receive him as Lord. But when you look at the Epistle of James, boy, does it ever look like the teaching of Jesus. I don't think that there's any other epistle that looks closer to the teaching of Jesus himself than that of James. And it looks like somebody who's heard Jesus, who's grown up in the same household, really speaks like our Lord.
Now, that means, if what you've said so far is correct, that means that the Epistle of James must indeed be very, very early, because aren't we given to believe by outside historians that James didn't survive past the very early 60s AD?
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, James, in that sense, is heroic, because while the apostles, and that's another reason why James has to assume the mantle of leadership there, is it seems like everybody else is forced to flee Jerusalem, you know, the big names, and that leaves really James there to kind of hold down the fort. And as the leader in Jerusalem, of course, he becomes a target, and it's not surprising that he loses his life in martyrdom. So yeah, I do think this is early.
Do Paul and James fundamentally disagree on the issue of justification? It's often been asserted that they do. A cursory reading of Paul's epistles and then compared to James could cause someone to believe that. What biblical evidence do we have that these two men, in fact, agreed rather than disagreed on justification?
I think that, from a personal standpoint, I think the best thing to do is first to read the book of Acts. And there Luke tells the story of the relationship between Paul, and James. And you would think in some ways they would be on opposite sides of the spectrum, because Paul was known as the apostle to the Gentiles. He's the first one who started to preach to the communities that were not circumcised. James, on the other hand, was the Jew of Jews. And certainly there would have been ample place for them to clash and to come to blows or to become opponents of one another. But it's James who time and time again stands up for Paul. So at the Council of Jerusalem, it's James who makes the final decision, who says, and who basically gives the blessing of Jewish Christianity upon Paul's Gentile mission. And also, when Paul comes back to Jerusalem, and he's nervous because he wonders, you know, how is the Jerusalem church going to treat me? It's James who gives him advice. So from that perspective, James himself did not see himself at odds with Paul.
Do we know anything about the death, the martyrdom of James, the brother of Jesus? About a minute.
Well, I didn't. It's not in the scriptures. I would have to look at that to see again. Maybe you know exactly what the story is. I did not look it up this time. But if I may say one thing about James and Paul, is Paul says we are saved without works, by grace alone. James takes the other point of view, but it's not another point of view, it's the other side of the same coin. And we live in an age where people say, oh, I believe, and they tell you about how great their faith is, And I think James is a great apostle for today, because with all the testimonials that Christians give and all they talk about, oh, my faith, my faith, my faith, James stands up in the middle of that nonsense, that gooey nonsense, and says, forget your faith, I'll show you my works. In other words, Christians show the love of Christ by what they do and the way they live, instead of bragging about it.
With only a minute, why should the church today remember this ancient apostle, this bishop, this martyr, James, the brother of Jesus?
Well, James is a great example of discipleship, of overcoming obstacles in the sense that he came to see who Jesus was, he put aside his pride, and then finally he used his talents and his wisdom for the sake of the church. And I think in this age of church division, in this age of conflict, I think James is a great example to us of sober-minded churchmanship, of learning to give and take a little bit, of learning to bring people together based upon the Word of God, but also in a spirit of righteousness and of wisdom and of sober-mindedness.
Dr. Peter Scare is Assistant Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. It's always a pleasure. Thanks for being our guest.
It was my pleasure, Todd. Have a great day.
So when we come back from this break, it's time to put a cap on this Reformation Week here on Issues, Etc. And I can't think of a better way to do it than with Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, and a conversation on the Reformation today. Is the Reformation simply a very interesting, intriguing, and necessary part of our history, but firmly set in the past? Or, in other words, is it kind of that discrete time where what happened there had to happen there, and we really don't need to revisit it again? Or is it, in fact, something that is of the very essence of what the church is and remains? Do we need Reformation today? We'll answer that question with Dr. Lawrence White here on Issues, Etc. this Friday afternoon, October the 23rd, right after this.
Ah, the sounds of rich liturgy and historic Christian worship. What a way to spend a Sunday morning. At Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, you'll find authentic Christianity as you hear the preaching of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Come, join us Sunday mornings at 9 and Monday evenings at 7:30, and find out more about Trinity Lutheran Church, Millstadt, Illinois, at trinitymillstadt.org.
These days, value affords me a new attitude. It lets me appreciate that I can start my day with more than a $6 cup of coffee, and that I officially have permission to skip dinner out to spend time talking with my family over casserole in. Concordia Publishing House offers Christian products that help me focus on what matters most. Visit any of the three Concordia bookstores downtown, in Kirkwood, and on the campus of Concordia Seminary in Clayton, or shop online at cph.org and find out what a new value attitude looks like in your life.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Have you heard of the CLCC, the Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission? We're deeply involved in providing seminars to build up Christ's church with education and training for the laity. So far, we've held seminars on confessional topics at churches in Minnesota, Utah, Oregon, and Washington, and planning is underway to hold seminars in several other states coast to coast. Visit the CLCC.org. Check us out. Get on the mailing list, or better yet, join us. See how your church can host a seminar, too. Go to theclcc.org.
Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the new Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and the Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you. issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church.